You're about to experience a life-giving message from Bishop Kevin Foreman, the People's Bishop, pastor of Harvest Church. We exist to lead people to totally love God, love people, and love life as one church in global location. Wherever you are, we are. Find out more on our website at www.harvestchurch.church or stay connected and get our mobile app by texting the word HARVEST to the number 55498. Your faithful giving is how we continue to bring life-giving messages like these to you. So bless what blesses you in our app or online.
Let's make our confession of faith together. Shall speak, Lord. Let's say it together. I'm in my year of more. God will do more in me. God will do more through me. God will do more for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So God, have you waited this morning? Get the glory out of everything. We are open and we are ready. Speak, Lord. Come on, tell him, say, speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm listening. Lift your hands, worship God for 5 seconds, like he's about to speak. Like he's about to speak. Like he's about to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout, I'm listening. Hallelujah. Grab a seat. Let's go to work. So this month's series, and we're down to the last couple of messages this week, is called Speak, Lord. I teach in series at Harvest because I want you to get results. And anything you focus on for a prolonged period of time, you're going to be forceful in. You're going to have results. And I want you to hear me. The rest of this year are going to be the best results you've experienced in your entire life. I'll prophesy it again so that you respond. Anytime a word is spoken over you prophetically, you got to lift your hands like you're receiving that. I said, the rest of this year, you're going to get the greatest results you've ever had in your life. I need you to open your mouth and holler, results. So Job 33:14, for God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. And we've learned that God speaks in 7 ways. 7 is the biblical number of completion. 7 is the biblical number of shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, and all is well. So we get a complete and total picture of how God speaks, which means stop expecting him just to speak one way because that's the way you're comfortable with. He's got multiple ways that he's going to speak. Watch me. And these ways are going to complete the picture. Sometimes you think, watch me, it's just going to be one way. But what if he put all 7 of them together? One way is prayer, praise, and worship. Secondly, through an angel or a messenger. 3, through dreams and visions. 4, through a storm. 5, through something or someone you least expect. 6, logos, which is his written word, which is God's voice in a verse. Sometimes you're looking for an audible voice, but really God's already put what you need in a verse. And then 7, through rhema. Rhema is through what we call at Harvest life-giving messages. It is what God is saying now based on what he said then. Now, listen to me. God is speaking. The challenge is our listening. I need you to open up your mouth and shout this. Say, Lord, help me to listen. Come on. Say it with authority. Say, Lord, help me to listen. Come on. I need you to say that thing like you're about to open your ears. Say, Lord, help me to listen. Now, this is important to understand because for some of you, he's using a message and a storm and your prayer, praise, and worship all at the same time. For some of you, he's using something or someone you least expect and a logos and a rhema and a dream at the same time. God is going to get the message to you. You just have to make sure that you are open to listening. And hear me clearly, listening is very different than hearing. I feel like preaching this morning. So I want to focus on a man named Jonah. Say Jonah. Jonah's name, we're going to jump right into this. Jonah's name means spirit, which means, watch me, a spirit very simply is a mindset. In the Old Testament, it's the word ruach. New Testament, it is the word pneuma. Pay attention. It means spirit. It just simply means your mindset. So this means when we look at the man Jonah, we're not just looking at him as a man. The man is a mindset, which means every single person, you come with a mindset, which is your spirit. Have you ever been around somebody that just had a negative spirit to where every time you got around them, they were just a negative person? That's their spirit because that's their mindset. You ever been around somebody that every time you got around them, they were smiling, they were excited, they were joyful? That's their spirit because their mindset is, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Which means it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I've made my decision. I'm going to have joy because it could have been me. No shoes, no food. It could have been me. Is there anybody in the building and online where you are grateful that you may not be where you want to be, but you can thank God you're not where you used to be? You could have been dead and gone, sleeping in your grave, But God. Slap somebody high five. Say, but God. He is. His name means spirit of mindset. He is the son of somebody named Amittai. Look at me, which means my truth. Which means he's a mindset, and his mindset is his truth. Why is that important? Because we're going to find out why Jonah handles certain things certain ways. See, we live in a time where people are so concerned about my truth, my truth, my truth. But the truth is that your truth doesn't matter. The truth is what matters. Jonah creates his own version of the truth, which is, watch me, alternative facts. But can I be honest? There's no such thing as alternative facts. Jonah, either it's going to be the truth or it's a lie. And we've discovered, watch me, from last week's message, that if it's a lie, the devil is a liar, and lies come from the enemy. Which means, Jonah, if you're living by your truth, that means you're living by something that the enemy has interjected. You're living by something that the enemy put out, which is why you have to be careful that you don't create your own reality outside of reality, because that's called a virtual reality, and the only place that's real is in your head. I just said a whole mouthful right there. Watch me. He is from a place called Gath Hepher, which means no big deal. So let me set the stage, because everything about how Jonah's introduced to us in the Bible sets the stage for why he does what he does. He's a mindset that says my truth matters and the truth is no big deal. Okay, you didn't know when to say something. He's a spirit, a mindset that says my truth is what I create and the truth is no big deal. In other words, he's somebody that doesn't take serious things seriously. Oh, my God. He's somebody that doesn't take big deals and make them a big deal. You ever been around somebody that wasn't serious about something they needed to be serious about? And you look, you play too much. I need you to touch your neighbor, say, don't be that person. Don't be that person. You can't be the person where you playing when we need to be serious. You telling jokes when we need to get something done. You sitting here thinking, this ain't serious. This is serious business. Why? Because I'm in my year of more. God's about to do more for me. God's about to do more through me. And God's about to do more in me. I ain't got time for playing games. Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. So look at me. Jonah has a moment where God speaks to him. Say, God spoke to him. Come on, talk to me. Say, God spoke to him. And he hears but doesn't listen. How do you know he doesn't listen? Because he takes no action to obey. And this is where many people are at, is you're saying, speak, Lord, but he speaks and then you don't do nothing. You say, speak, Lord, and he speaks, but you take no action to obey. Look at Luke 8:18. Pay attention to how you listen. Well, here's the question. What affects how we listen? Jesus literally tells people, he says, you need to look at how you listen. You need to pay attention to how you listen. And by the way, you ever been, every parent, you've done this. You told your child to do something, and they come back having done something totally different than what you said. And you'll look at them, and you'll say, you don't listen. I told you to do this. You did your own thing. Every leader, every entrepreneur, every chief executive, every business owner, every person that's been at the top of everything where you have a team, you've told the team to do something. And then certain people come back and you're looking at them like, what is this? And they're like, well, this is what you said. No, that's not what I said. You don't listen. What affects how we listen? Because what I've discovered, hear me Sunday morning, is that God is speaking, but for many people, we're not listening. And we're not listening because we don't realize that our ears have filters. What do you mean? There are things that affect how we listen. What are some of the things that affect how we listen? Great question. Number one, Exodus 6 and 9. But they did not listen because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. What does this represent? Your past. The Bible says that the Hebrews would not listen because they had a broken spirit. What is a broken spirit? What did I just tell you? Spirit means mindset, which means their minds were broken, fractured, which means they couldn't make any good decisions. Talk to me, y'all. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you couldn't make any good decisions? As a matter of fact, you'd get tired just from thinking about what you've been thinking about. You'd get wore out just from thinking about it. You go to sleep, but you wake up tired. Because even in your sleep, in your dreams, you were fighting with yourself about, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to get this done? They had a broken spirit and harsh slavery, which means this was their past. Everybody say their past, their past. Put it up. Everybody say their past, their past, their past. And for some of you, watch me, your past is affecting how you listen. Because everything you listen to in your present, you're listening through the filter of your past. So even though you're in a new day, you still hearing old stuff. Even though you're in a new moment, you're still hearing old stuff. But I need you to open your mouth, lift up your hands and say, Lord, release me from my past. Number two, what can affect how you listen? Judges 2 and 17. It says, they did not listen. I like this verse. For they hoard after other gods. What does this mean? Look at this. Here's what this is. This is idols. Anything you make an issue, you make an idol out of. God says, I will have no other gods before me. And over again in the scripture, they would make these idols. They would create these little things that they would make. And just for the sake of this, I'm going to just take these shoes. I'm just going to take these shoes, and I'm going to put these shoes up. And let's say this is an idol. So now you're looking, you made the shoes an idol, which means the shoes matter more than what he says. The shoes matter more than what I'm supposed to do. So pay attention. The Bible says that they hoard. Look at the verse, after other gods. Gods means sources. Please go back to sources, which means, look at me, these sources were things that they were going to, things that they were going after that, watch me, that could not actually provide for them, but they hoard after it. Let me see if I can make it plain. And you hoard after your job because you thought it was your source and not a resource. Why does the Bible say hoard? Because he says you're selling yourself. In other words, he said, you'll do whatever you do to get something. Oh, my God. He says, you will do whatever you do to get something to provide for you. And can I be honest? Some people, it's worse than a whore because you don't even get paid. Watch me. You're letting people, watch me. You're going after people, watch me. And the relationship isn't even producing anything for you. You're missing it. You're doing all of these things to put people first instead of God first, put people first instead of the kingdom first. And watch me, and they can't even be a good friend when you need them. But I think there's some people in this building, am no lie, that can say, God, I'll have no other idols before you. You will be number one. Seek ye first the kingdom. Come on, lift your hands in the building, am no lie. Say, God, your kingdom is first. But when you've got other gods or other sources, you filter things through the through that particular God. In other words, so like if money's your God, everything you hear, you're thinking money. So everything you hear, you're like, okay, well, how much is this going to cost me? Well, you know, what is the money? Everything you hear, watch me. If, look at me, if people's attention is your God, God means source, then now everything you hear, you're hearing through them giving you attention. So if they don't give you any attention, if they don't pay you any attention, you're not actually hearing what was said. And for some of y'all, watch me, I'm gonna give you this for free in the morning message. You ready? For some of you, you missed good people because they didn't, watch me, they didn't serve your attention whoredom. I'll back it up and say it again. What do you mean? It's because they didn't give you the same type of attention that somebody else did. And the only reason they could give you that type of attention is because they weren't doing anything with their lives. So when you ain't got nothing to do, you got time and attention to give. Okay, it got quiet in the building. All right, let's go. All right, here's the third thing that can affect your hearing. 2 Kings 17 and 14. They would not listen, but were stubborn as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. So here's the third thing that can affect your hearing, is being stubborn and unbelieving. Unbelief is different than doubt. Doubt means I waver in what I believe. And can I be honest with you? If you don't have moments of doubt, you're not a human. If you don't have moments where you're like, God, what's up? Watch me. Even a boat rocks when it gets in the water. Even a plane, watch me, encounters a little turbulence. Doubt, watch me, is a normal course of action. I can experience the feeling of doubt, but I can't stay there. Come on, y'all. Tell somebody close to you, say, you can't stay there. I can experience the feeling of doubt, but I cannot stay there. Look at me. Unbelieving, though, is a conscious decision not to believe. It means I refuse to believe because I'm stubborn. What is stubborn? It's you're too difficult to change. And for some of you all, watch me, you pray for change. You pray for sudden, fast forward movement. And then when it hits you, you become stubborn. Then when it's time to do it, you become stubborn. Then when it's time to do it, you're like, well, God, I thought it was going to be this type of change, not that type of change. I thought it was going to go like this and not like that. But I need you to tell the Lord, say, Lord, I won't be stubborn and unbelieving. I won't be stubborn and unbelieving. The last thing that can affect how we listen, Jeremiah 7 and 26, they did not listen to me or incline their ear, which means they didn't even try to listen. Look at me. You ever been around somebody that wasn't even trying to listen to you? And you know they weren't trying to listen. Look at me. Because they weren't listening to you, they were preparing to respond to you. So look,
they didn't hear anything you said. Because the entire time you're speaking, they are preparing to respond to you. He says, they did not listen to me, nor did they incline their ear, but they stiffened their neck. Say stiff neck. Okay, what does stiff neck mean? Look, just look at me. If you have a stiff neck, just look at this imagery. Is that it takes you, watch me, you refuse to see it another way. When you're stiff neck, you won't turn to see it another way. Which means because you're so fixed and bent on seeing it your way, you'll miss another way. The Lord told me recently, he said, son, you're not looking at this. I'm like, Lord, but I'm doing this, I'm doing that. He said, no, I need you to look over here. He says, because there's something over here, which means you can't be stiff-necked. And then I was like, okay, got it. Then he's like, now I need you to look over here. You can't be stiff-necked. He said, I know you're used to doing it a certain way and for certain things. He says, but what if I've got you in the middle of an evolution? What if I'm trying to speak to you and show you something different because you about to change the game? Watch me again. Oh, my God, because you about to do it again. And I came to tell somebody you can't be stiff-necked because you are about to change the game. You're about to do it different. You're about to do it like nobody else has done. Why? You are a line crosser and a history maker and a boundary breaker. I wish you'd find somebody around you and just point to them and say, you are a game changer. You gotta see it different. You gotta look at it different. Stop being mad. Be glad because I'm not stiff-necked. Stop being upset and realize it's a setup. See it different. Stop having paranoia and have paranoia. I'm not stiff-necked. I see it different. So God speaks to Jonah. Say, God speaks. God speaks to Jonah, but Jonah doesn't listen. In fact, Jonah does the opposite. Look on the screen. If you see on this screen, Jonah is in a place called Joppa. That's where he's at. God says, go to Nineveh, which is about 500 miles away. This mark goes all the way to Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles away. Look at me. Which means disobedience is actually more costly than obedience. Y'all don't know when to shout. Doing it your way actually costs more than doing it God's way. I know it seems like it's more difficult, but watch me. It's actually more costly for you to do it your way. He goes from Joppa. Nineveh was closer. He catches a boat ride all the way, look at me, furthest away from his assignment. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. He's running furthest away from what he's supposed to do. Furthest away from what he's called to do. He doesn't listen. Say, Jonah doesn't listen. And for some of y'all, watch me. Some of your delay has been because you heard, but you didn't listen. Oh, my God. Please open your mouth. Say, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I'm listening. Jonah does the opposite. So God sends a storm. Here's what I love about it. Do you remember the seven ways God speaks? Remember, saying, one of those ways that God speaks is a storm. Which means God said, Jonah, when I spoke to you through Rhema, you didn't listen. So now I'm going to use another method and speak to you through a storm. And maybe now you're going to listen because you wouldn't listen when I said it nice. So maybe now you'll listen when it gets a little rough. I came to tell some of y'all, I know there may be some areas that are a little rough. But maybe that's because God says you haven't been listening. You've been hearing, but you've not been listening. Tell them in the building and online, lift your hand and say, Lord, I'm listening. Jonah doesn't listen. He does the opposite. So God sends a storm. While they're in the storm, one of the leaders in the boat says to every man, begin to pray to your God. And Jonah begins to pray. And Jonah realizes, Jonah tells them, look at me. Jonah tells them, it's because of me that this boat is in the storm. It's because of me that we're in the storm. Let me pause for the cause and parenthetically insert the principle. When somebody tells you they're the problem, believe them. When somebody tells you, watch me, when somebody tells you that they're the issue, believe them. When somebody tells you I'm holding you back, believe them. When somebody tells you I'm no good for you, believe them. When somebody tells you that you could do better than me, you'd be like, I'm so glad that you made it clear. I'm so glad that you saw what I could see. Let's go. Stop trying to convince people that they need to stay on your boat when they've already told you they want off. Let me go further. Say, teach, man of God. Let me go further. For many of you, pay attention. The reason you're in a storm is because of who you got on your boat. You weren't actually supposed to be in the storm, but because you got a Jonah on your boat, you got a stowaway on your boat who doesn't belong on your boat. Now your boat is rocking and shaking and shaking and rocking. And sometimes you're going to have to be comfortable with their absence so you don't have to deal with their problem. You're going to have to be comfortable with their absence so you don't have to deal with the storm that's for them. That storm was not for everybody else. It was only for Jonah. You're about to pray a crazy prayer. You ready? Say, Lord, show me my Jonas. Come on, speak this out of your mouth. Say, Lord, show me my Jonas. You ready? Now you're going to pray an even crazier prayer. Say, Lord, show me where I have been, Jonah. Watch me. So watch me. So they throw Jonah overboard. But before they throw him overboard, let me just go further. This is where some people have been. Here's what they do. The Bible says that they rowed harder to fight the storm to keep him on the boat. You didn't get it, so let me back to take it. They fought harder to keep him on the boat. Some of you all, you're fighting to keep what's killing you. Oh, my God. You're fighting to keep what's destroying you. They rowed harder. Jonah said, throw me overboard. They said, nope. They rowed harder, rowed harder, rowed harder, rowed harder, rowed harder. And then Jonah was like, throw me over the boat. Let me help some of you. Some of the people you're fighting to keep in your life, if you're honest, they're not helping you row anyhow. If you're honest, they're not helping you get it done anyhow. This is why when they are absent, you don't even notice it. Why? Because they didn't add value when they were present. Let's go. All right, watch me. They throw him overboard. And when they throw him overboard, here we are. Look on the screen, Jonah 1:17. We almost there. And the Lord appointed. Stop right there. God knows how to set an appointment with exactly what you need to get you to where you're going. I wish you look at somebody and say, God's about to set an appointment for you. Come on, Facebook. Come on, YouTube. God's about to set an appointment for you. Come on in the app. Come on in the website. God is about to set an appointment for you. And the Lord appointed a great fish. Doesn't say whale, by the way, so it's not Jonah and the whale. That's not biblical. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Have you ever been? Never mind. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. In other words, this thing is about to take your whole life. But it can only do it for 3 days. Look at me. This thing is about to overwhelm you. But it can only do it for 3 days. I'm here to tell somebody, you may be dealing with a great fish, but let me go ahead and tell you at the beginning, this fish ain't forever. Would you slap somebody a high five, please, and tell them, say, this fish is not forever. Come on, touch another person, say, this fish is not forever. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. What does belly mean in Hebrew? Language of our Old Testament, it means darkened. And Jonah was in a dark place. What does darkness represent? The absence of the knowledge of God. For 3 days, God's going to say, you're not going to know where I am. For 3 days, you're not going to know where I'm doing. For 3 days, you're going to be in a dark, look at me, hopeless place. For those of you who go through moments like this, I need you to know that the fish is there to speak. Okay, let's go. Darken, because you do know God speaks to fish. He told the fish, go swallow him. Think about this. They threw him over, and the fish just happened to be in the right place at the right time to swallow him up. And for some of y'all, can I be honest with you? Look at me. Your problem was too perfect to be the devil. If you don't talk to me. Oh, my God. Your problem was too perfect to be the enemy. Why? Because how did this thing, they threw him overboard right here, and the fish came and swallowed him up right here. Which means, watch me, the Lord said to me several months ago, he said, son, that ain't the devil, that's me, because this thing has been supernatural. I'm in a game of chess with myself, because I'm positioning you. I wish you lift your hands and say, God is positioning me. Say it. God is positioning me in the right place. At the right time, say that problem was perfect for me. Let's go. It means dark, helpless, damaged, which means for 3 days you're gonna feel helpless like you can't do nothing. For 3 days you're gonna feel damaged. For 3 days you're gonna, look at me, for 3 days, even though you're valuable, you're gonna feel damaged. For 3 days, even though you're a conqueror, you're going to feel damaged. And there's nothing worse than damaged goods. Because either I learned to live with it or I got to send it back to get a replacement. You ready? Then it means temporarily delayed. Shut the front door. Temporary delayed, which means this fish is only designed to hold you up for 3 days and three nights. Wait a minute. On three, I'm going to give all of us an opportunity to shout in the building because I'm here to tell somebody your delay is not your denial. One, two, three, shout right there. Your delay is not your denial. It's temporary. And I came to prophesy to somebody, as soon as you listen, it's going to be over. Say, Lord, I'm listening. And as soon as you listen, it's about to be over. It's not permanent. It's temporary. It won't last always. It's temporary. Let's go. Darkened, damaged, delayed temporarily. Look at me. The worst thing you could do. I remember, can I be honest with y'all? I travel a lot. And when I travel, I am not like some travelers who enjoy just being in the airport. There's some people, I got there 3 hours early. I got there 2 hours early. I'm not that traveler. I'm the type of traveler that I like. There's only one airport where I like to go to their lounges. Other than that, because of the particular airline. Other than that, I'm the type of traveler, when I walk up, my group is boarding. Anybody else wave at me if you like that? Here's the issue. This means that sometimes we live a little close to the edge, right? And so I remember one time I was traveling from LAX. I was in Los Angeles, and I was flying back to Denver. I think I was returning on like a Friday night. And then I was returning. All of a sudden, the traffic went from 30 minutes. Then all of a sudden, it said an hour and a half. I said, I don't have time for this. I eventually make it back. I drop the rental. I'm ready to go. But then at LAX, you got to get on these buses for them to take you to the airport. They had to give me the slowest bus driver they had available. Like, she literally probably was the, they said, ma'am, you clocked the 15-minute trip in 45 minutes. See, and I was so agitated, I started speaking audibly what was in my head. I was like, baby, please drive. I'm like, ma'am, please keep going. Like, what are you doing? I said, turn. What you waiting on? Go. I started just talking out loud. I just said, why are you driving so slow? So it started coming out of my mouth. I said, Holy Ghost, you got to help set a guard over my mouth because I need this woman to drive. And so I finally get there. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm doing good on time. I finally get there. And when I get there, TSA pre-check is closed. And so then I had to go through regular, all right? And so I'm like, well, what's the purpose of pre-check if I got to go through regular? But they give you a little blue slip. Okay, so I get there. And so I'm like, okay, we're good. There's only about 15 to 20 people in front of me. So I'm like, okay, all right, okay, I can do it. Now, the whole time in my mind, something is saying, watch me, you're just going to miss the flight. So just give up. But there was a fight in me that said, but I might make it. Y'all don't know when to shout. For some of y'all, there's something in you that's saying you should just stop. But there's something in you that's pushing that says, but you might make it. I wish you'd lean over on somebody. Lean with it. Rock with it. Tell them, say, you gonna make it. You gonna make it. Type it in the comments. You gonna make it. So I get up there. This is the night where everybody with a blue TSA shirt want to talk. So everybody in front of me, they just having conversations. So here it again, what's in my head comes out of my mouth. And I'm like, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. So we finally get through the thing. We get through the thing, and I'm like, I'm looking at the thing. I said, well, shoot. I said, the plane. I said, I probably didn't miss the flight. I said, probably missed the flight because the time is there, all of that. As I'm going up, the stairs to make my way to the gate, the pilot's right there. And he asked me a question. He says, where are you headed? I said, oh, I'm headed to Denver. He said, oh, ooh, thanks for your patience. He said, we're a little delayed. He said, I'm the pilot on that flight. I looked at him. I said, well, if you're the pilot and you with me, we ain't going nowhere. You missed your shout, which means, watch me. Had I let the enemy stop me and tell me don't go, I would have missed what was there. The delay was only temporary. Would you look at somebody and say, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. So when I got there, they would say, oh no, they had to get a whole new crew to come in and all that. I was like, I had plenty of time. But the whole time, watch me, there was something that was fighting me, like, stop. And the Lord used that as an analogy to teach me. He says, son, never let a temporary delay make you destroy what you was working on. You better talk to me. Never let a temporary delay make you think that you've been denied. I need you to lift your hands, open your mouth, and shout. Say, it's only temporary. Watch me. Now, this was likely a shark. How do you know it was a shark, Bishop? Because shark digestion takes time. Let's talk. The Bible never says it was a whale. And a whale is a different classification of animal. It says a great what? Fish. It was likely a shark. Shark digestion takes time. You ready for your shout? Sharks, when there's something they don't want that they ingest, they turn their stomachs inside out to vomit it. Which means it was the nature of the shark to vomit what didn't belong in its stomach. So when the fish vomits Jonah out of its mouth, the fish was saying, Jonah, you don't belong here. Jonah, this is not your future. Jonah, there's something greater for you. There's some things that have been spitting you out. And the reason they're spitting you out is because, watch me, your storm is just about over. Your darkness is just about over. Your helplessness is just about over. You were temporarily delayed, but I need you to touch somebody and say, but your delay is over. So look, Jonah gets in this fish. Now go back to the map. Let me just show you where the fish was. Go back to the map. So Jonah was in Joppa. He catches a boat ride to Tarshish. You got it? Way over there, 2,500 miles away. He's trying to get to Nineveh. The Bible says that, watch me, the Lord, when the fish spits him up, that the fish spits him up where he's supposed to be. Which means God says, I've arranged your transportation. I'm going to throw this thing. Jonah, are you listening now? You got your little headphones off. Can you hear me now? Are you listening now? Because I have arranged your transportation to get you, here it is, Sunday, to the right place at the right. I've arranged your transportation. But you look at somebody and say, God, arrange your transportation. Say, I know it didn't feel good, but it's about to be real good. He arranged your transportation. They fired you to get you exactly where you're supposed to be. They quit you to get you exactly where you're supposed to be. The deal didn't work to get you exactly where you're supposed to be. They walked out to get you exactly where you're supposed to be. Shout, Lord, I'm listening. So while Jonah is in the belly of this shark, so here's the miracle. It didn't bite him. It swallowed him whole. The miracle is that what should have killed you didn't. You don't know when to shout, so I'll teach you. That's when you shout. The miracle is that betrayal should have bit you, but it didn't. That snake should have bit you, but it didn't. That delay should have bit you, but it didn't. That failure should have bit you, but it didn't. That situation should have bit you, but it didn't. It should have knocked you out and killed you, but it didn't. Ah! It didn't. Look at verse 2, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Well, Jonah is in the belly of the fish. Then Jonah did what? He prayed. Jonah, this whole time you've been doing your own thing. So I needed to speak through a storm, and then I spoke to a fish, because I'll use something or someone that you least expect. So he's used three ways to speak to Jonah. Rhema, he spoke to him. A storm, he spoke to him. A fish, he spoke to him. Then Jonah prayed, which means it took three different ways God speaks before Jonah ever listened. Which means God says, I'm so committed to you. I'm not changing what I said until you see and hear what I said, until you listen. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Where? From the belly of the fish. Which means, Jonah, it took this to make you pray. What is it going to take to knock you down to make you pray? What is it going to take to make you say, God, I need to hear from you? What is it going to take to make you say, Lord, if you don't give me strength, lift your hands and say, Lord, lock prayer in me. Say it again. Say, lock prayer in me. Say it again. Say, lock prayer in me. Verse 2, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. What made you pray? Stress. Shut up talking to me. He said, you wouldn't say nothing until you were stressed. What is stress? Pressure. He says, I put pressure on you to make you pray. He says, I called to the Lord out of my distress. And what did he do? He answered me. Oh, my God. Say, God's about to answer me. Say it with authority. Say, God's about to answer me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and he heard my voice. Sheol is one of the Hebrew words for hell. Let's see if you can get it. God said, I spoke to you, you didn't listen. I sent a storm, you didn't listen. I used something or someone you least expect, and it put you through hell. And when you went through hell, all of a sudden now you can hear. Now that you're going through hell, now you're listening. I cried and you heard my voice. Say, I'm listening, God. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Let's go back to the map real fast. Jonah is way over in Tarshish. God prepares a fish over there exactly at the right place at the right time to be under the boat. So when they throw him overboard, watch me. You ready? Here's another shout. We shouted that the shark didn't bite you. Let's shout that the ocean didn't kill you. You should have drowned. I don't like the way some of y'all praising right through here. You should have drowned. But the Lord did not let the ocean kill you. I need you to lift your hands, open up your mouth, say, but I'm still here. He's in Tarshish. God puts GPS in the fish and says, swim all the way over here. And I want you to pay attention. You see the different colors of blue? Those are depths of ocean, depths of water. And those are also different bodies of water, which means I'm about to have you cross geographical territory. I'm about to, okay, you don't know when to shout. 2,500 miles, I'm about to move you. I don't like the way some of y'all are looking at me and some of y'all are talking to me. I'm about to, I'm about to move you. And since you wouldn't do it on your own, I'll put you in a fish and, oh my God. Speak, Lord. He moves them through these different bodies of water to take him all the way to where he was supposed to be in the first place. Watch me. Look at verse 5. The waters closed in over me to take my life. In other words, he says, while I was in the belly of the fish, I felt like I was drowning. It feels like it, but the truth is I'm not. It feels like it, but I'm not. Your feelings aren't facts. So sometimes the fish is to make you walk by faith and stop walking by facts, because sometimes facts are the opposite of faith, because facts are what I can sense, what I can see, what I can touch, what I can smell, what I can hear. So sometimes I need to put you in a fish, so watch me, so you can't see what's going on. The water's closing over me to take my life. Feels like I'm drowning. Watch me. The deep here means confusion. Jonah says, I was in a place of confusion. Confusion means I don't know what to do next. I know I need to do something, but I don't know what. And the craziest place to be in life is when you know you need to do something, but you don't know what you need to do. So you wake up motivated, watch me, but not sure. You wake up inspired, but you're not sure what you're supposed to do. You wake up like today is the day that the Lord has made, but I have no clue what I'm going to do in the day. You ready? The deep surrounded me. Watch this, because it's about to get deep. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Weeds is the Hebrew word where we get papyrus. Here's this. Shout Sunday. It means there was a lot of paperwork and decisions. I'll talk over here. Jonah says, wrapped around my head is papyrus. There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of decisions. So Jonah's like, I'm tired. And the reason I'm tired and feel like I'm drowning is I got more decisions than I have time. I got more decisions than I have energy. I got more and the problem is I can't make this decision without this piece of information. I can't make that decision without that piece of information. I can't make that decision without that piece of information. And it feels like there's areas on hold. So I got all this gas in my car, but I'm not going anywhere. I got all this energy and I'm excited and I'm motivated, but I can't make any moves. He says all these things. Where are they wrapped around? His head. So he says, I got a lot of decisions that are in my head. Could it be, you ready for me? Could it be that Jonah didn't listen? And the reason he didn't listen and instead bought a ticket to go to the exact opposite of where he went, I'm going to bust your bubble, is because Jonah said to himself, I just need to get away from it all. I'm coming down your row. Ropo, Bashaya, I got the Holy Ghost. I just need to get away from it all. I just need, look at me. Lord, I'm going to do it, but let me take a trip first. Talk to me. I'm going to do it, but I need to go on vacation first. I'm not knocking trips and vacations. Here's what I'm knocking. Don't do that as a way to escape what it is that you got to do. Don't do that as a way to escape what it is that you got to handle. Could it be that Jonah went and got a ticket to take a boat ride because he said, God, I just need to get my mind clear real fast. If you let me clear my head, I'd be good. And God is like, no, because if you go clear your head, you're going to find a way to justify your disobedience. Jonah, if you go clear your head, you're going to meet some legs, hips, and body over in Tarshish that's going to get you locked up, tied up, taken up. Y'all ain't talking. Jonah, if you go over to Tarshish, you're going to meet somebody that's going to keep you where you don't belong. Are you still here? Okay, watch me. Look at me, verse 7. When my life was fainting away, I was fainting, Jonah's saying, because I felt overwhelmed. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Verse 9. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, look at me. I, with a voice of thanksgiving, while Jonah is in this fish, which is likely a shark that should have bit him, but it didn't. He should have drowned when they threw him overboard, but he didn't. In other words, what kept him from drowning was his problem. I'll back it up because you missed it. You want to know why you're such a fighter? It's because God knows, watch me, how to keep you alive. Y'all don't talk. God knows what you need to keep you going. Because if you didn't have something to fight, you wouldn't have any. Okay. If you didn't have, God says, I know exactly what you need. You want to know what keeps you going is your problem. Your problem is what keeps you going. Because every day I wake up, I'm like, I'm about to take the devil down. Every day I wake up, I'm like, my enemies are about to. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, he says, I'm thankful for what I'm going through. I will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. What is Jonah saying? I'll do it, God. I'll listen. Here's what he's saying on three. Everybody holler yes. One, two, three. Yes. On three, everybody holler yes. Yes. On three, everybody holler yes. Yes. On three, everybody holler yes. Yes. I want you to pay attention to something. You were so ready to say yes, I never counted to three. And for some of you, you're waiting, and God says, just do it. You miss what I just did. You miss what I just did. I said on three, everybody holler yes, then you immediately hollered. That's the way your response has to be to what he says. I'm not warming up. I'm not waiting. I just give him a yes. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He says, I'll do it. He says, I'll do it. Look at verse 10. And the Lord, say, speak, Lord, spoke to the fish. Let me go to my little fish pond. And the Lord, spoke. Let's get this hammerhead. And the Lord spoke to the fish. It's a whole lot of other fish. Why he's sending this fish? Because this one can swim fast. It's a whole lot of other problems. Why this problem? Because I know exactly the problem you need. It's a whole lot of other fish. Why this fish? Because I know exactly what to do to get you where I need you to go. So watch me. So he gets him over here. And look at verse 10. Everybody on the screen. But the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah. Watch me. It did something crazy. Because when's the last time you seen a shark come up on the beach to vomit somebody out? In other words, God says, watch me, Jonah, Jonah, I'm about to put you exactly in the right place at the right time. Jonah, once you survived this, you didn't even have to catch the boat back.
Jonah, once you survive this, I'm literally going to vomit you. This fish is about to flip its stomach inside out and put you in the right deal, put you on the right job, put you in the right situation, put you in the right relationship, put you in the right state of mind. Lift your hands. Open up your mouth. Say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So Jonah gets vomited up exactly at the right place. Watch this next verse, next chapter, Jonah 3:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah, throw it up, the second time. He said, now look, Jonah, I've proven to you that you don't run from me. I've proven to you that I'll send a storm. I'll use something or someone you least expect. I've proven to you how committed I am to you, Jonah. Look at your neighbor and say, God is committed to you. He's so committed to you that he'll stop you from being your own worst enemy sometimes. He's so committed to you that he'll shut down your sneaky link. Y'all ain't talking to me. He's so committed to you that he'll shut down. I don't like y'all's silence. He's so committed to you that you were about to make a horrible decision that he'll shut the door since you wouldn't recognize it wasn't your door. He's so committed to you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Now, the last time, Jonah didn't obey. So God says, Jonah, this time, you better get it right. I'm here to tell somebody, and the word of the Lord is coming to you. Listen to me Sunday a second time, because there's things that you need to do that you already knew, and you screwed it up the first time. But I need you to tell somebody close to you. Just tell them, say, but you won't do it this time. The first time you didn't sow what you were supposed to, you're going to do it this time. The first time you didn't respond like you respond to, you're going to do it this time. The first time you did not do it like you were supposed to, but you're going to do it this time. Look at the next verse. So Jonah arose. Jonah was like, I ain't going through this again. What if you needed to go through that so you never want to go through that again? So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the what? Word of the Lord. Now, here's what blew my mind. And we're done Sunday. Here, we're done. Here's what blew my mind. I said, Lord, what is it about Nineveh? I taught you this. As we just recently had the eclipse that covered America. And in that, I told you that one of the signs that the Lord gave to them, this was an eclipse that made Nineveh repent and change their ways, so the Lord decided not to destroy the city. It was an eclipse that was a sign. So Jesus said that, watch me, I will give you a sign, the sign of Jonah, which was actually an eclipse. So God, look at me. God just gave you a sign that I'm saying this for the second time to you. You missed it. God just gave you a sign that I'm saying this for a second time to you. I'm going to say it a third time. I just gave you the same sign I gave them that I'm saying this a second time. Now this time you must obey. Hey, hey, lift your hands, open up your mouth, say, Lord, I'm listening. Say, Lord, I'm listening. Let's go. What does Nineveh mean? Why did Jonah have to go? And the Bible says the great city of Nineveh. I said, who are they? Who is that? The way you call them great. Why does God call you great? Because Jonah had to go. Say, where did he go, Bishop? Same place you finna go. It means growth. It means vigor. It means colonization. It means coordination. It means education. It means handsome, which means where you headed is going to look better than where you been. And where you headed? To a place called agreeable, which means you're about to have some agreements. You're about to have some contracts. You're about to have some offers. You're about to have some opportunities. So let's go to Nineveh. Say, let's go to Nineveh. Lift your hands, open your mouths, worship God for 5 seconds right there. 5, 4, 3, 2. Lord, I'm listening. Say, Lord, I'm listening. Heads bowed, eyes closed in this building and online. Today, for some of you, you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, and be sure, and wherever you're at in this building and online, no guilt, no condemnation, no shame. Wherever you're at today, if you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure. Or on three, you're going to slip your hand up. Online, you're going to do the hand wave emoji or say it's me. God's not mad. He's not angry. For some of you, you're Jonas. You've been on the run. Come back today. You've been doing your own thing. Come back today. For some of you, you were at the cruise line trying to get your ticket. It's metaphor. Somebody's like, Bishop, are you telling me not to go on a cruise? No, it's metaphor. You were trying to go get your ticket to run away. You were trying to get your ticket to just go do your own thing. And this message is God telling you, if you go over to Tarsus, I'm going to send you fish. If you go opposite, I'm going to send the fish. Today, if you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, this is your day. Just because God has called you doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. Challenges come with your seat. Just because God has called you does not mean that there's not going to be some difficult days. But you were built to handle the difficult. If that's you, do the hand wave emoji. Say it's me. 1, 2, 3. Respond wherever you're at. In the building, end of the line. Wherever you're at. Hallelujah. Everybody pray this with me. Say, Father, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for your love for me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and my Savior. Give me the grace to be a faithful Christian from this day forward. If I fail, if I fall, give me the grace to get back up again. Today is the beginning of the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, scan that QR code or text Harvest to 55498. Enter the option for salvation. We're going to get a message to your hand called, what next? What do you do now that you give your life to the Lord? Secondly, some of you are saved, you don't have a shepherd. I made this mention already. You know I'm your shepherd. It's a spiritual connection. When I speak, the Lord speaks clearly to you. You get it. You understand it. You text Harvest to 55498 or scan that QR code. Enter the option for Join HC. Did y'all get some out of this word today? My God, I tell you. I got a whole lot out of this thing today. You want to know what's amazing about Jonah's story? Is that the only ones that know about it are us, God, and Jonah. What do you mean, Bishop? What are you trying to say? Is that when he got to Nineveh, his assignment never knew. You missed it. In other words, God says, Jonah, I'm going to use you as a story, but they're going to read about you when you're gone. Which means they will not know your story. They won't know what you were thinking. They won't know what went on in your head. I'm so committed to you that I'm going to cover you. Come on, somebody say, he's covering me. He's covering you. You can text Harvest to 55498 or scan the QR code if you need to become a part of the Harvest Church family. This thing is spiritual. This thing is spiritual. And I want to encourage you. You don't have to be in Denver, Atlanta. You can be anywhere across America, around the world. You can be a part of the Harvest Church family. Listen, if you came in late, you weren't able to give, get your giving ready. Tithes, offerings, first fruits, love offering. If this word bless you, we're going to sow into this word today. And here's our seed today. Here's our seed today. Our seed is going to come right from Jonah. And it's going to come from Jonah 2 and 10. So here's the seed, 21. Jonah 2 and 10. 21. Jonah 2 and 10. What does 2 and 10 say? And the Lord spoke to the fish. And the Lord spoke to what was swallowing you up. Have you ever been? And the Lord spoke. And the Lord spoke to the fish. 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 And the Lord spoke to your landlord. And the Lord spoke to your employer. And the Lord spoke to the banker. And the Lord spoke to the deal. And the Lord spoke to diabetes. And the Lord spoke to the sickness. Which means God can speak to anything. But he needs to know that you're listening first. God says, I did all of this to get you to listen. Say, Lord, I'm listening. Why ask him to speak and you don't listen? Why ask him to talk and you just want to do all the talking? But I just got to get it out. Great. But then once you get it out, listen. I've learned sometimes you just let people talk and them say everything they're going to say. Say, I hear you, but this is what we're doing. Oh, wow. Woo. My God. Ooh, that's a lot. Wow. Yep, but this is what we're doing. Say, Lord, I'm listening. Listen, if you're going to sow the seal, I just use text to give. You can use text to give. Text amount to 84321. You can use Cash App. $Bishop Forman, the number 2. PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Giblify. That's available. The email is hello@harvestchurch.church. You can mail it to P.O. Box 44104, Aurora, Colorado, 844. Giblify is available. The email is hello@harvestchurch.church. Or you can use stocks, crypto, gift cards, donor advised funds, all of that. You can scan the QR code for that. I love you, Harvest. Don't forget, we're online all day today. 9:15, 11:15, 1:15, 4:07. Don't forget prayer on Monday night, our daily pop-ups. There's a word for you every day. How many of you enjoy the pop-ups? Wave at me in the building on the line. Online, wave at me. I'm so blessed by those pop-ups because you guys see every time we go live, somebody gets saved. Have you noticed? There's not been one day ever that we've gone live and somebody doesn't come to the Lord. Not one day ever. And God is good. Lift your giving to the Lord in the building and online. You may say, Bishop, I don't have 21. Get as close as you can to it. Maybe you want to double it and do 42. Maybe you want to do 210 or 2100. You sow. Everybody say this to me. Say, Father, lock this word in me. I'm listening. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for caring enough to prepare a great fish. You knew exactly the problem I needed to make me listen. Thank you for it. Lock this word in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, in the building and on, or in the building, the bastards are passing. For those of you online, you can scan the QR code, use one of our online giving methods to give. I love you. Let's do it together, everybody. Love God, love people, love life.